You know, I'm a little upset. I was the top Italian in town till Tony Vitello got to town, and now he's a toast of the town. And of course, Coach, I welcome you in today. And first of all, congratulations on getting the Tennessee gig. And it's always a pleasure to speak to a fellow Paisan in these parts, because there aren't many of us, my friend.
I hear you. Well, I have met a few, and they're all good guys. And toast of the town, I think, because I'm new. We'll see how many wins we can rack up, and then we'll see how popular I am.
Well, you know, we're us in the FBI, the full-blooded Italian circuit, we must stick together here. I got to tell you, man, full confession, baseball, as far as games go, has always been my favorite sport, Tony, from the standpoint that I find it a thinking person's game, and there's always something going on a baseball field where everybody's got to be engaged, and the pitcher and the catcher and the whole thing. And I'm just wondering, and I love hearing people's stories, share with us how you came to baseball, if you can.
Certainly, and, you know, I'll do so just by being fully honest. And I kind of mentioned this, you know, in the press conference. I was around my dad, who coached everything, track, football, soccer, baseball, and then he kind of helped with the basketball game days. So I was around those high school athletes where he worked ever since I could literally walk. And so I just really appreciated the competitiveness and the time guys put in, and then guys getting to do stuff they love, and all the things that come with just athletics in general. So I kind of fell in love with more the competitive part of athletics, and then kind of got streamlined into baseball, because probably by about age 12, I started to make, you know, elite teams, and by no means was I a great player.
Right.
But I started to make teams like a team that went to Japan and represented USA.
Mm.
And I wasn't doing those things at the other sports, even though I was kind of putting in an equal amount of time. So it really just became something that I had more success at and I saw as my future. And it wasn't but about my senior year of high school, I realized I wanted to be like my dad and be a coach. And so I thought the best way to do that was to pursue the sport that would get me the furthest. And all in all, it worked out.
So as a kid, was baseball, like as a fan, for instance, or as a spectator, was baseball your favorite sport, or did you have another one?
No, I think it was, but it was also kind of a flavor of the month thing.
Back then,
kids were not being streamlined into doing baseball year-round, or if you're a basketball player, don't even think about playing another sport.
Yep.
I mean, in the backyard, I don't know if kids do this anymore, but we put on, you know, makeshift hockey pads. We played hockey during hockey.
Yep.
We loved playing basketball. We were all dunking on the 7-foot rim, you know, thinking we were superstars.
Yep.
And, you know, just whatever sport it was at the time, we'd play it. And then during the late spring and summer, we always played out in the front yard and, you know, imagine we were George Brett or whoever your favorite player is, and keeping stats and all those things. So, you know, really, I think times have changed, and there isn't that approach very often, but I think I learned a lot of different lessons by following different athletes and different sports and trying different things. And again, baseball was the one that came most natural. And then, yeah, there was a certain love affair there, I think, with going to ballparks. My dad's from Chicago, and going to Wrigley Field every summer is something that will do a lot of things for you, including drawing you to the game.
You know, it's so many things you just said there that are so interesting. I'm going to do a show in the summer about my first time I ever went to a big league ballpark, and I just remember walking into the old Vet Stadium in Philly, and I was probably 11 or 12 years old, and it just captured me, man. I mean, it's so hard to describe to somebody that's not into sports, you know, that whole vibe. And then once you're hooked, you're hooked. But I want to go back to something you just talked about, which is, because I know invariably, as a guy who's produced major league players, and one of them with the Red Sox is in the process of murdering my Phillies this week, so thank you very little. But you had just mentioned the athlete of today, and I'm 50, and I've got a few years on you, but you're going to get close to in my range soon, and then I'm going to be in another bracket when you get there. But Tony, I'll say this: I feel sorry for the athlete of today, because in high school, in my mind, you're a great athlete. When I was a kid, you play all three sports. And you play sports as a kid, you're there to have fun. You're in the development zone. You're not in the championship zone. So when a parent comes to you and they say, hey, my son wants to be the next Ben Attendi. My son wants to be the next whomever. What is your advice to them? Do you say focus at the age of 9, or do you say play all the sports? What's your advice?
My short answer is do what you love and don't let anyone tell you what you should or shouldn't do. That's a very quick answer. Now I'll circumvent or backtrack. You bring up Andrew, and everyone is slowly learning that Andrew's a superstar. Andrew's a good-looking guy that everybody loves.
Yep.
But he's also tiny. He's a small guy.
Yep.
He was Mr. Ohio for basketball 2 years in a row.
Mm.
He's also a tremendous golfer. And I'll tell you something else, Benny, shoot me if I shared this on the air, but he struggled as a freshman and for the first time in his life. And he thought about just putting the bat down and golfing, literally. I mean, he was a serious thought. So, you know, he did those things you're talking about, it being well-rounded and giving things another chance. And when a kid sits down and says, well, you know, I play basketball, but if I'm going to accept this scholarship, don't you want me just in the cage? And, you know, again, it comes back to do what you want to do. But as far as my perspective, what's more fun and what's more valuable? Being on the free throw line with the other high school team section, you know, ragging you while you're trying to make some free throws down the stretch of a game, or just sitting in the cage and swinging off the tee, or going to a hitting lesson, you know, inside where you're in a comfort zone. And I think the first example, the basketball one, it's definitely more fun and more exciting, but also it's just more competitive, which at the end of the day is the most important thing.
Yeah, I just love that answer because, in a sense, you're saying you have to be true to who you are. In another sense, see, I just hate the concept of limiting kids, and I hate the concept of somebody at a high school level putting pressure on a kid, and it happens in all sports now, to say you can only play one game. And I just think that, I don't know, that just kind of breaks my heart, Coach, to be honest.
It's foolish, but there's a flip side to it, too. If you're a really good athlete and you got everybody in the school and all the teachers telling you, we need you to be the quarterback, you got a great pitching arm.
Right.
Well, don't stand back there and take hits if you're not in love with playing football every day.
Great point.
But again, if you are, then you only have one chance in your life to do that. And Pat Noonan is an assistant coach for Team USA in soccer, mm-hmm. Bruce Arena's assistant.
Mm-hmm.
And Pat went to my high school, played soccer and baseball for my dad, but his senior year he quit baseball because he had a soccer scholarship to Indiana. And literally to this day, even though he played in the MLS, he's coaching Team USA and, you know, in the next World Cup, he regrets not playing baseball his senior year of high school.
That is, God, I love, man, I'm like borderline falling in love with you right now as we visit. We'll tell you about Tallow today.
But you might need Pat on the show. It's a pretty good story right there. Now, that's a good example to throw out the kids.
I would love to talk to him because we talk a lot of soccer, believe it or not, on this show, especially at World Cup time. But also my producer, Brian Hartman, is a soccer freak. But we've had watch parties, Coach, in the past for soccer and things like that. And so I just love all sports. And it sounds like you're wired in a similar way. And I'll tell you what's really impressive that I hear in your voice is, because you're going to have to find guys here in the next couple of years. You're not going to get, because the way baseball works, and we were talking about this leading up to your hire, the way baseball works is these next couple recruiting classes are already kind of put together. In other words, it's a sport where 3 years in advance is essentially how you're working. And so you're going to have to find guys. And so when you're looking, do you look to say, hey, is this a diamond in the rough? Is this an all-sports guy? Does that help sometimes when coaches are looking for kids? If a guy, say, didn't specialize, and you can kind of go, maybe I can refine him.
Yeah, it does. You know, there's all kinds of stories, especially in our sport. We faced a guy this year, of course, at Arkansas, mm-hmm. J.C. Cloney. He pitched at Arizona and was their Friday night ace. And University of Arizona obviously went a long way in Omaha last year and had a great year this year. He did not sign on to go there until about this time after his sophomore year of junior college. So basically, he committed to Arizona about a month and a half before he actually enrolled in school. Mm. And turns out he's their best pitcher by far. I mean, the guy basically looks like John Lester, just doesn't throw as hard.
And then he went in the ninth round to the Royals. So just one of many examples of, in this sport in particular, you just don't know. And I know how many hours football coaches put in. And of course, I've met Rick Barnes. He's a superstar. I can already tell.
Sure.
He's been great to me. But you know what? In basketball, if you can shoot, you can shoot. If you can jump, you can jump. If you're tall, you're tall. Football, if you're big, you can probably block. In baseball, there's so many variables like hitting and throwing that you just don't know. I mean, no one knew Andrew Benintendi was going to do this. Not even us that were around him every day, but it's a different sport. So there's so many factors involved. And hey, we got a kid coming in on visit on Monday that we're going to try and add to the roster this fall. He may come in and be our best pitcher if we get him. He may come in and be, you know, at the bottom of the depth chart because we added him late and we were scrambling, but you just don't really know. So you got to kind of hustle around and do the best job you think possible recruiting. And I got to be honest, sometimes you get lucky.
Yeah, and sometimes you get a kid that's really highly touted and they don't work out. And baseball just seems to be that sport where those variables, you're hot, you're not. You know, my son plays golf. And sometimes he says, Dad, I get over, I'm playing around, and it feels like I've got a magic wand in my hand. And sometimes it feels like I've never been out there before. And when he played baseball as a kid, he would tell me the same thing. Sometimes you feel like the ball's a beach ball. Sometimes you feel like they're throwing a BB at you, and you've never been in a batter's box. So tell me about, if you can, Frank Anderson, and you go the veteran route with the pitching coach. Boy, that guy's got an impressive resume.
Well, every coach is a recruiter at heart, so they're always going to tell you they have the best of everything. Well, I think, first of all, Knoxville can compete with any place in the country as far as an area, a town, city, whatever you want to call it. So that's exciting to be able to do. And there's other, you know, positives going on here, too. But we all know pitching's the name of the game. And to be able to sit down, like I'm going to do an in-home visit Friday, and just say, here you go, read this with Frank's resume. I think it just neutralizes anyone else's argument that we've got the best this or that, because I think he literally has the best resume out there and the greatest track record of success. And on top of that, he's checking off a box that's huge for me of having somebody that's been a head coach and can stand next to me in the dugout and say, hey, first year guy, that's a pretty dumb idea. Or, you know, why don't you do this? In the past, it worked in this particular situation for a guy like Augie Garrido. So it's definitely an exciting addition, but I think more than anything, it's a weapon in recruiting.
Isn't that amazing to hear you talk about that guy and his resume and his development and the fact that his son's a major league pitcher and all those things on his resume? Does that help when you're selling a kid? Do you use that? Hey, he's got a son that pitched in the major leagues. He's developed these people. Is that part of the package?
Yeah, I think so. There's no question. And again, it's a lot of recruiting, like it or not, is some of the best guys in each of our sports are guys that can talk people into doing things.
Right.
Because not only are you talking them into coming to your place, but you got to talk them into, hey, this is the best offense to run, or this is the best approach on the mound. But when you have something factual you can point to me, it's an incredible advantage for somebody that's going to be making an educated decision.
So, like, when you're looking for your next staff hire, and as even with your pitching coach, is it more important for you to have a teacher or a recruiter? What do you value more?
Well, I think more than anything, somebody that's impressive. Somebody, you know, and speaking with Mr. Curry, I kind of use this example. Somebody that, if you were running a pizza parlor, no doubt hire for you. You needed an Uber driver, no doubt hire for you.
Yep.
I don't know if that example or kind of analogy rings true, but basically somebody that's impressive because they've got a lot they can bring to the table.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what we need them to bring to the table is a conversation that Coach Anderson and I are going to have, because I want us to coexist well, he and I, and then also who the other coworkers are.
Mm-hmm.
So we're going to get to it, but I'll tell you right now, just being up front, strength coach is the number one thing that's on my mind right now. It's the number one priority.
Mm.
Financially, that's where we're going to basically not let anything stand in our way from getting the guy we want. And we do have somebody that's going to be in town this weekend that we'd be stealing from a Power 5 school, and he has a tremendous reputation. I just feel like the culture here is one of the things was just off just a little bit from preventing, I think, great things happening because they've been close. And the strength coach is a guy who has a ton to do with culture, just as much or maybe a little less as the head coach. So that's our next priority, and I hope to land somebody like Coach Anderson where you just look at the resume and say, I don't even need to find out about this guy. I've already heard enough. This is pretty dang good.
Tennessee was too little in recent years, Tony, quite frankly.
Yeah, and you see it. And to be honest with you, Dominic Fletcher was the best player on the field that particular weekend that we were here, and he's only a freshman. Now, he was already physical to begin with, but he's also a kid that's relentless in the weight room. So he finished the season really strong while other guys were fading. And, hey, that was at Arkansas, too. So, I mean, his teammates, some of them went one direction, some of them went the other. And a lot of that stuff is kids are going to do what you let them do. And, you know, again, some of them are blessed genetically. But the bottom line is, and on the offensive side of the ball in particular, the guys who are going to hit in May and hopefully June are going to be the guys who continue to get stronger or at the very least maintain strength as the season goes on.
Tony Vitello joining, been at Tennessee for about a week now or so, and already sound like you've got your hands on what you're doing. Or is it a couple weeks now? Where am I here? About a week.
No, it's pretty much a week. About it a feels week. Like it's been about 48 days, but that's because there's a lot going on.
Sure.
There's a lot of people that don't like me right now because I haven't got back to everybody, but I hope to do so. But, you know, again, I was given advice from somebody I have a lot of respect for. And quite honestly, Mr. Curry said the same thing. What is the most important thing at this very moment? And so I have kind of channeled my energy in that direction. And, you know, strength coach and then adding to this year's roster is kind of where we're at.
Are you hopeful? Kyle Serrano said yesterday on another radio station that he's open to coming back. Are you open to gaining his services? Will you sit down with him?
Yeah, you know, and I've already met him. We've had a good conversation in the weight room here. It just kind of worked out good timing. And then I've tried to reach out to guys that, you know, I thought were going to be former players. Rogers and I have had great conversations. I'm trying to learn about what's going on in the program. But I'll say this, with the draft, I've learned to never get too far on one side or the other because I don't like having my heart broken. And until that signing day comes in July, you just don't really know for sure who's going to say no and who's going to, you know, take that money and go play. But his situation is the exact same as everyone else's, and I'm kind of just trying to give you an insight to the program. Everyone's got a clean slate next year. And so whoever's in that first, you know, team meeting room is probably there because of Coach Serrano's staff, you know, and AT and Slim. I know those guys. They're good baseball guys. I trust the work they put in, so I'm going to invest in that work. And really the only trade-off is those guys better be investing at the same level that I am and the coaching staff is. Otherwise, they won't be welcome around here. But if they are investing in it, then I'll take my chances with those wins and losses.
Tony, you know, the interesting thing, we were talking yesterday about Serrano and his situation, and here's a guy with a big arm who at this level, it just hasn't happened for him yet. And it doesn't mean it can't happen for him, and it doesn't mean, and I know what the Astros are thinking. They're thinking this is a guy who's got a lot of tread on his tires. He's been relatively unused. I mean, he's kind of unique, isn't he, a situation like him. Like we were talking about earlier, he could be one of those through-the-back-door stories if he can climb through the professional ranks, but it seems like he's got some work left here yet to be done, which might have been what he was alluding to.
I think a way to summarize that is here's a kid that, and again, in a short time of meeting him, has a lot of passion built up in his body. Deep down, probably like every kid, has a good heart and really doesn't like the legacy that he's left behind here because it is on paper. I'm sure there's some pros and cons to what he's done here, but on paper, it's not a good legacy. I think he would tell you that.
Sure.
And it doesn't sit well with him. And he likes the idea of maybe being able to erase you know, his past here with the present and really putting together a good year. And I, in my heart of hearts, hopefully I don't sound like a used car salesman here, Frank Anderson is the perfect guy for a kid like Kyle Serrano in so many different ways.
Hey, Tony, on the way out, and I really appreciate your time, and it's nice to have another Tony in town.
Believe it.
Yeah, believe. speak to the living Vol fan if you can. I just want to give you a forum here. Anything you want to add here on the way out? And I thank you for your time, man.
No, thank you, and glad to come on anytime, and certainly hook you up with our staff as they roll in if you're interested in that. But I think more than anything, I'm just excited because, again, my Arkansas days have come and gone, but those people are crazy down there. You know, they'll do Wu-Pig Suey in the middle of Walmart if they feel like it. They're just extremely loyal to the university, and I didn't realize it was like that here. I just didn't. You know, mainly ignorance on my part, but I've been wowed at how enthusiastic everybody is about the Vols in general, and then also the tradition that's been here and the possibilities that lie ahead. And that's an environment you can't create as a coach because you're only one person. So you can try and spin it to a recruit, but when it's actually there and you can feel it around town and then eventually you can see it in the ballpark, that, again, just like Coach Anderson's resume, is a powerful weapon when you're recruiting. And Nick Saban, you know, anyone will tell you that they're nothing without good players.
Amen to that. Tony, thanks, man. Great talking with you.
Yeah, you bet. You have a good afternoon.
All right.